Welcome to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, December 6th, 2015. The Reverend Ron McHatty is preaching. The sermon for today is The Love of God, the Old Testament. Reading is Psalm chapter 25, verses 6 through 10. And the New Testament reading is 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3.
Okay, this morning, even if you're not in the habit of using the sermon notes, I would encourage you to use them because it'll make it easier this morning to follow the message, okay? So this morning I want to address the topic of the love of God, and you might be caught by surprise initially. The text that I want to focus on for the next few moments, but I hope that you'll appreciate it as we come to a close. It's coming out of John 21. Many of you know the text well. It's when Jesus confronts Peter after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, and now he is making his different appearances to the disciples before the ascension. And he takes Peter along. He takes Peter outside of the group of the disciples that morning. They're having breakfast together, and he asks that question, "Simon, do you love me?" And the context of that, going back to the initial part of the context, or at least most people feel it's a context, that is that Jesus is using this incident as a means to reinstate Peter and to reassure him that he's still one that Christ desires to be a disciple and to be a follower of him, because the context are three denials. And I just jotted them down there real quickly for you. The first one is in, they're all in John 18. Some of you remember they're outside of the courtyard and a young girl comes to Peter in the midst of the courtyard and asked Peter if isn't he one of the disciples that followed Jesus. And Jesus is now under house arrest. And he replies, I'm not one of them. And in a short period later, the same evening, Peter gets addressed again by another individual. Are you not one of the disciples? And Peter again says, no, I'm not one of them. And then finally, one of the high priest's servants come to him and challenges him. Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove? So this gets real personal now. And Peter denies that again. And then we know the story immediately. The rooster crows. And Peter hears those words of Jesus at the Last Supper. Before this day's over, you're going to deny me three times. Or before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. So now, we're on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is in his resurrected form. He and Peter are with one another. And here comes these moments. And hopefully you'll catch this as we go through this. And that's one of the reasons why it's in color. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" And there's a lot of different interpretation in terms of what the word "these" is actually referring to, but I want you to look at the word "love." The word that Jesus uses for love when he addresses Peter is the word agape, or agapio, and that's the word for unconditional love, or in the Old Testament, the equivalent being the steadfast love of the Lord, or the everlasting love of the Lord. Peter responds to Jesus. "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Now, this is where the English falls apart for us, because it's not as specific as the Greek. Peter uses a different word for love. Doesn't respond in like to Jesus. He uses the word philia, which means I love you as a friend. So Jesus says to Peter, "Do you love me unconditionally, Peter?" Peter responds, "I love you as a friend." Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." Turns right around again, and Jesus says, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" Once again, "Do you truly love me unconditionally?" Peter responds, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Same word, philia. "I love you as a friend." Jesus says, "Take care of my sheep." Third time, he says to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Jesus uses the word philia. No longer uses the word for unconditional love. "Simon Peter, do you love me as a friend?" In other words, he takes the expectation down a notch. Many people say, well, you know, it was the burden of Jesus asking him three times and just constantly being in his face about these three denials that Peter responds in the manner that he does, and it's prefaced by John that Peter was hurt that Jesus would actually ask him a third time. Is it the fact that Jesus asks him a third time, or is it the fact that Jesus changes the word for love? And Peter locks on to that. No longer, "Peter, do you love me unconditionally?" It's now, "Peter, do you love me as a friend?" Peter responds, "You, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." He still uses the same word, "You know that I love you as a friend." Jesus comes back with the same terminology again, saying, "Feed my lambs." Now, a lot of people try to go into great length on these responses of Jesus. "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep," using different innuendos. And there are countless interpretations of what's going on there. And not that it's insignificant, but I just don't think that that's where the emphasis is. I think the emphasis is on this dialogue between Peter and Jesus on the word love. One thing that Peter does do, though, is that he uses two different words for no. He may not change his word for love, but he changes his word for no. He goes from a general word for no, oidia, which just means you know in general. But he says, "You know that I love you." The very last time he uses the word, he uses a much more intimate word for no, which basically means, "You know I love you based upon our personal experience, much deeper level of no." How I associate with that word and Peter's usage of the word no, I don't know if any of you have ever had similar kinds of experience. You know, when I look at my own personal walk as a believer, I probably give myself about a C+ to a B-. Very mindful of my own personal shortcomings. But there are moments in my walk when I kind of feel like David. David outdid me in his sinfulness, but, you know, then God says he takes everything and, you know, even spiel, so, you know, I'm responding to David very humanistically, not from God's perspective. I just think David was a creep. you know, good grief, you know. But, you know, You get a lot of power and you learn how to misuse it, unfortunately. But there are those moments when David pours out his heart to God in the Psalms. And he's very mindful of the fact that his love for God is not adequately manifested in his own personal life. And I don't know if you ever feel that way, where I just feel like, God, I just keep missing the mark. But kind of like Peter, you know, at the deepest core of my being, you know that I love you. And then I usually tear up, and then I have to just get through the moment, and then I'm okay for another 3 or 4 months. Just find it so interesting. To me, this is just such a great example of the love of God. Of Jesus zeroing in, trying to meet Peter right where he is. I feel like God's is almost like a parent teaching a child how to ride a bicycle. But there's that moment where the kid isn't going to make it to the next step in a sense. I mean, you have to get on the same wavelength with the kid because the kid maybe just isn't quite getting there with you. There's lots of different examples in our life, but I just feel like this is one of those moments when we see God really zero in. And yeah, it's a hurtful moment for Peter, but I think it's a very honest moment for Peter as well when he comes back with that second word for no. And there's a connection there. So kind of visually, how do I envision that moment? How do I begin trying to wrestle with that for myself? Maybe some of you remember it. About 5 or 6 years ago, I thought Kaiser Permanente had one of the most fantastic ads on TV of any ad I had. It was of a little boy in a waiting room, waiting for the doctor to come in. And the doctor walks in, and the kid, is maybe 3 feet at the most. And the doctor walks in, and he's a giant. He is so big. It's not even a David and Goliath. I mean, it's more. And the doctor walks in, and he takes one of those little toddler chairs and puts it down beside the boy. And your whole body hurts as you watch the doctor squat down and get his gigantic frame on this chair. And it's one of those situations where you see legs, knee, and face, sort of. And he looks at the little boy and he puts out his hand and he says, "I'm Doctor," and he uses his first name. You go, wow. I think I want to be a patient at Kaiser Permanente. I mean, it was a powerful, powerful image. And to me, that's an image of kind of what's going on here between Peter and Jesus. There was another one this week. I don't know if any of you by any chance saw it. It was on YouTube. The Today Show caught it and showed it. You have to watch what you're looking for because you can get some references, Jamie found out, to some Santa Clauses who are not as swift as this Santa Claus. But there's a mall in Charlotte, North Carolina, and during the season of the year, they shut the mall down for certain hours for children with special needs, so that they can come and shop and be part of the Christmas experience and not get overwhelmed by everything that's going on in the mall and have a terrible experience. And the picture is of a little 3-year-old autistic boy on the floor. His mom had taken him to see Santa Claus. There was no way in the world that he was going to go see Santa Claus. So here's the little boy on his stomach, and over here is Santa Claus laying on the floor. face to face with the little boy with a snowball in between them, playing with the snowball, and Santa's on his stomach all laid out. And then the last picture is the little boy giving Santa Claus a high five. And I'm going, wow, that's Peter and Jesus once again. I mean, that's Santa Claus for a moment in time. Was Jesus, was God reaching down, getting on our same level. Not forcing Peter to a level that he wasn't at yet. We know that at some point, you know, what Peter went through, man, he put it all out there for God. But at that moment, the journey was just beginning. George MacDonald, think of it. Three guys, George MacDonald, Toyken, and Lewis, are all best friends. Once a week, they meet in a pub in Oxford. In fact, it's Toyken and MacDonald who led C.S. Lewis to the Lord. Wouldn't it have been amazing to sit in that group of guys and listen to their conversations in that pub? Oh, my goodness gracious. Just amazing. But MacDonald says that the reason why it was so important for God to come to us as an infant was that it was the only way that we were able to touch God. The only way that we could actually embrace God. God had to make himself small enough for us to be able to hold. Powerful imagery. And then MacDonald goes on to say, every time a child is born, it's God saying to us, I haven't given up on you. Every time a child is born, it's God saying to us, I haven't given up on you. So those are all images that come to my mind when I think about the love of God. And I just think that this interaction between Peter and Jesus just speaks volumes of how much God loves each one of us and how much he wants to meet us right where we are and begin that wonderful work of grace in each of our lives. So as we come to take communion this morning, be mindful of these words. Maybe they'll take on a little bit new significance once again for you. From Philippians 2 that we know really well, Jesus Christ, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the high place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's prepare ourselves to receive communion.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.